be without His love? Where would we be without the cross? The psalmist said, had it not been, I'd hate to know, had it not been for the cross. And thankful for the truth of that song. I've done something a little different this morning, and this has not happened in a long time. But early this morning, God changed my mind on what I was going to preach this morning. And I'd just soon be more obedient to Him than tied to what I'd planned on preaching. So I was going to preach on Caleb today, and the title of that message was The Dreamer That Went For It. But that'll be coming to a pulpit near you at some point. But I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians, and I want you to find your place in chapter 3. I've been wanting to preach this message for some time, and just been waiting on the green light. Now, I just assume God give me the green light on Saturday, but that's okay too. He's God, and we'll just trust Him for the results. If you're visiting with us today, thank you for being here. To say God bless you hopefully expresses our gratitude for you being here today. We hope God has already ministered to your heart. But the truth is, our church, if you want to ask us what we focus on the preaching of God's Word. And we believe the preaching of God's Word is what God has used since the launch of the church to change people's lives. And we've committed ourselves to that. And I pray that God will speak to your heart from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. I was originally going to preach this a few weeks ago, and Brother Matt Pettit, our revival speaker, grabbed the text and preached it, and I thought, man, I can't preach it on the heels of him preaching it. And so, but I do believe there are some things in this passage that are for Pleasant Acres Church. And if you're here today and God changed my mind on this, guess what? God knew you would be here. And so God knew before the foundations of the world that you would need this message. I hope and pray that we would be in tune with what God has for us today. Can we pray to that end? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to preach your word. And Lord, I'm asking that you would absolutely place a holy hush on this place, that distractions would be to a minimum. Because, Lord, we want to do our best to lift you up, to highly exalt you, to preach your word with all the integrity we know how to preach it. Because these are powerful truths. And even though we just heard these just about 3.5 weeks ago, Lord, I do believe that the theme of this passage is timeless. And it's good for us to be put in remembrance of some things. And so, God, I pray today that you would ignite in our hearts a special fire for what we have to talk about today. Speak to every heart. Minister to every life. And, God, use me as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, please do not mistake God changing my mind today for me not being ready. Because I think you'll see that there has been a lot of thought and time and prayer over the last 2.5 months. And what you're thinking now is, well, preacher, if you already go long and you only prepare for a week, what are we in store for today? Well, just settle in. That's all I can tell you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with the might by His power in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye be being rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. And there, here's a verse. This has probably been one of my favorite verses over these last 5, 6, 7 years. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything, all, everything that we can ask or think, the Bible says. He's able to do. He's able to do above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. And all God's people said, amen. In the first few chapters of the book of Ephesians, we are reminded of several things. We are reminded that we are purchased for God by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are reminded that we have been forgiven and accepted in the Beloved. We are reminded that we have, through Christ, we have become sons of God. We are reminded that we have been sealed with His Spirit. We have been protected by His divine love. We have been sustained by God's divine care. We have been energized by God's divine power. And we have also, listen, become priests and kings. If you're saved today, you're a king or a queen in Christ. Isn't that great? Now, don't walk around like I'm royalty. Some of you do that anyway. But you're a king. You're royalty because of Jesus. We are now taught and led and ruled and loved and made alive by the Spirit of God. We are saved by grace through faith. We are brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Paul wanted the Ephesian church to know several other things as the chapters continued. He wanted them to know that there is life in Christ. Aren't you glad today that there's life in Christ? That the gospel we go forth with, it is a gospel of life. It's a gospel of truth. Jesus said today, and we covered in our Sunday school lessons, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. When he said, I've not just come that ye may have life. He said, I've come that ye may have it more abundantly. Life. We have life in Christ. We have salvation in Christ. We have been raised and seated with Christ. We are created in Christ for good works. We have peace with Christ and with God. We are partakers of the blessings of heaven because we are in Christ. We are united. We are at peace with the body of Christ. And the purpose that God has for us transcends everything that this world has to offer us. Why? Because we are in Christ. We have Christ. And as He is unfolding these unmeasurable riches, the Bible says that Paul said, I bow to my knees and I pray. In fact, for what reason did Paul bow to his knees and pray? I believe we only have to go back one verse to find the answer. He says, wherefore I desire, in light of all these truths, in light of the categories that I just gave you this morning, in light of all this stuff, he said, I'm desiring, verse 13, that you faint not. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which are your glory. The reason in verse 14 Paul said, I'm bowing to my knees and praying, is because he did not want them to faint. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I know this for a fact. Life is hard. I know this for a fact. The church is under attack. I know this for a fact that our enemy is trying to destroy the Word of God. By the way, Satan, good luck. When God said it's forever settled, I have to believe it's already forever settled. There's nothing Satan can do to destroy God's Word, and yet the Word of God tells me that I need to stand up, as we talked about and sang about earlier. I need to stand up for Jesus and stand up for His Word. The reason that so much has happened in our culture is because good, godly people have not said a thing. And during this time, during this culture, I would say, in the same thing that Paul told this church, this great church, he's talking to Ephesus. He's talking to probably the greatest church of that day. It was the first church that Jesus addressed when he wrote the letters through John in the book of Revelation. He said, Ephesus, I know of your work, and I know of your zeal, and I know of all of these things. I know of your programs and your Sunday school and your bus ministry. I know of your upward program. I know of all these things you're doing. I know of your jail ministry and your nursing home ministry. I know all the things you're doing, and I know you're doing them with excitement. But he said, even to Ephesus at that point, but you've kind of missed the mark on one thing. You forgot why you're doing it. It's this church Before that point, this church was active. This church was growing. This church was thriving. And yet he said to this church, Paul said, in house arrest, he said, I'm bowing on my knee and praying for you so that you don't faint. So that my tribulations, when you hear of them, you don't get discouraged. The word faint here literally is rendered to turn out a coward, to lose heart, to lose courage, to faint. He's saying that I'm hoping that you've got something more in you. I've already told you all the things you are in Christ. You're all of these things. And then I'm praying you don't faint in the midst of your discouraging times. I'm praying you don't faint in the midst of your tribulation or my tribulation. He said, I'm praying that you do not lose heart even though I'm going through a rough time. I'm still praying for you that you don't faint. And that was his prayer. He said, I want you to be a faithful church. I'm praying you'll keep the faith. He's saying, for you, Ephesus, I'm praying that you'll fight a good fight. He said, for you, Ephesus, I'm praying that you would run the race with perseverance. He said, Ephesus, I'm praying that you would be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of God. He's saying, I'm praying for you, Ephesus, that you will not be weary in well-doing, but that you will press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm praying for you. And then in this passage from that prayer on, I do believe that Paul gives the church two fundamental essentials if we don't want to lose heart. I believe if I ask for a show of hands, how many of you want to lose heart? How many of you want to turn out a coward for Christ? I don't believe anybody would be foolish enough to raise their hand. And so I'll ask you this way. How many of you want to last? Raise your hand. You want to last. You want to persevere. You want to be steadfast. You want to be unmovable. You want to be always abounding in the work of God. You want to press forward to the mark. You want to fight the good fight. You want to keep the faith. You want to run the race. You want to be all those things. You want to be unmovable for God. You want to be a rock for your Lord. If you want that, and I do believe that Paul is not the only person who has prayed for the church, your pastor prays for you for that. I hope that you pray for me for that. But even in our praying, I do believe there are two fundamental truths, two fundamental essentials, two fundamental qualities that we must possess, that we must hold fast to if we are going to stand fast and not faint. What are these? Well, number one, if we're going to stand fast and not faint, if we're going to outlast our enemy, if we're going to come out on the other side victorious, number one, we must be strengthened by the power of God. Can I say this today? That no one here will stand fast on their own strength. You are not strong enough. You are not moral enough. You are not good enough to stand fast in your own strength. And neither am I. We must have the strength of Almighty God. Amen? We must have His strength. I love what Glenn Johnson said. He pastors in Virginia. Heard him say this years ago at Southeastern College. He says, we do not need any more Christians operating outside of the power of God. He said, we have enough of those. We do not need to be operating outside of the power of God. He said, I am praying for you. I'm praying that you have inner strength through the Holy Spirit. Notice, he said, for this cause I bow my knee, verse 14, unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Here it is, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. He said, this is what I'm doing. I'm praying. This is who I'm praying to. And this is what I'm praying for. I'm praying that God gives you strength. Because without His strength, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The question is, what kind of strength? He is to be strengthened with might. It's literally describing a powerful strength, a dynamic strength, an abundant strength that can bear trials, that can perform duties and glorify the name of God. Believers in Christ need a fresh supply of strength to enable them to exercise grace, to perform duties, to resist the devil and his temptations. We need fresh supplies of strength to oppose their corruption and to bear the cross of Jesus Christ. We need fresh supplies of strength to undergo afflictions cheerfully and to hold on and to hold out till the end. We need God's strength. And so first of all, this morning, knowing that we need God's strength, I want you to notice the period by which God will give this strength. The period by which God will give this strength. And all of these we find in verse 20. He said, first of all, now unto Him. As many times as I've read this passage and I've memorized this verse and I've quoted it to people that God can do so much more than we can even imagine, most of the time I miss the very first word, Brother Bill. Now. You say, when can God give me that power? Guess what? God can give it to you right now. We don't have to wait. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. Where was Paul? He was in house arrest. I can't imagine that his circumstances at this point were hunky-dory. And yet even then, he said, I believe in God so much that I believe right now God can give me this power. Right now. Even in the face of your circumstance, God can give you this power. God's power is not just at the disposal of us when things are going good, but God is not just powerful when the waters are smooth. God is not just good and powerful and strong when things are exciting, but God is good and God is powerful even in the valley. Even in the face of killing your son, which God had promised for years and years, even then God can give you power. Even after being sold into slavery by your brothers and lied about over and over and over again, God's power is always available. Even when God tells you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let his or God's people go, and then God in chapter 4 of the book of Exodus showed Moses time and time and time again that even when things didn't make sense, God's power was still available. Even in the middle of God's enemies in the Red Sea, God's power is there. Even in the face of losing everything, health and wealth and family, God's power was there. Even when no one else said we could possess the land, God's power is there. Even when you face a big old 10-foot tall giant, or seven times hotter fiery furnace, or even in the shadow of the cross, God's power is there. Listen to me, my friend, if you're going to last, if in one calendar year, it's amazing to me, Brother William, how many folks in a year's time can come, get faithful, and leave to never come back? I think I told, it might have been one of our evening services, but we were changing our church program not too long ago. There's a program Brother Jay introduced to us, and we were just kind of going through the names of, like, you know, just all the people that we had put in our old church program as we transferred them over. And it spit out for us a register of people who had visited our church over the last 8 or 9 years, however long we used that program. And there were about 1,300 to 1,500 names that over the last 8 years or so had visited our church. Folks, that's a lot of people. We have people that visit and they come and they like it and they get excited and we go and sit in their homes and they get involved and then within a year's time, they're gone. Why? One reason is because I believe they lean on their own strength. They want to do something for God, but they want to do it in their own strength. And please hear me. You can't. You can't. You say, well, when can I have this strength? When is this power available unto me? The Bible says, right now. Right now is this power available. We see the period or the timing of God's power. But number two, we see the person of God's power. I love this. It is not in ourselves. It's God. Verse 20. Now, what's the next two words? Unto Him. The power all rests in Him. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch that is in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And in verse 5 of John 15, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do, here it is, nothing. See, I'm afraid some of us, we've got that old song echoing in our mind when we go about to go through life's task. You know that song, Bad to the Bone? You think you're bad. Listen to me, my friend. If you've done anything great in your life, it was not you. It was God. It was God. The Bible tells me that every good and perfect gift comes from God. If this church has ever had any success, it wasn't because of a man, it wasn't because of a board, it wasn't because of a Sunday school teacher, it was because of a really, really good God. He's good. Paul knew it wasn't him. Look back in chapter 3, if you would, verse 8. Paul said, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is grace given. Paul knew that power did not live in him. Paul knew that power did not rest upon him. Paul knew that that power wasn't hinging on anything about Paul. It was hinging on everything about God. He knew who it was not. It was not God. He knew who it was. It came from God. You can be strengthened by His might. Go back, if you will, to verse number 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. It's all God, church. Ye have many enemies, cunning and strong, many trials too great for the natural strength. You have many temptations, which no human power is able to successfully resist. You have many duties to perform, which cannot be accomplished by the strength of man, and therefore you and I are in need of divine strength. You got to have it. George Mueller said, there is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. He said, where faith begins, that is where man's power ends. I had one of my friends yesterday give me a quote. He said he's been saying it to his church. I said, well, I'm going to borrow it, and I'm going to start saying it in my church. He said, that's fine. He said, I read it somewhere, so it's not even original. He said, when we put our faith in God, God always proves His faithfulness to us. He says, when we believe, God, I need Your power. Listen, church, I want us to last. Over 57 years, our church has been a lighthouse in this community. I want to go at least 57 more. Amen? How many are going to be here with me? Some of you are like, I ain't going to be here. You're crazy. I might have 25, preacher, about 57. But if the church is going to be here, no matter who the pastor is, and if the church, you, are going to be here, no matter who is filling these pews, or maybe more pews in another building, who knows? The bottom line is, if anything good happens, if any light shines, it's going to be God. It's Him. The Bible tells us the period of the timing. It tells us the person of the timing. Let me hurry. Number 3, it gives us the promise of God's power, the timing of His power and the person of His power. Now the promise of His power. I love verse 20 where it says, now unto Him that was able, right? Is that what it says? Now unto Him that might be able. No. My Bible, I don't know what your Bible says, but my Bible says now unto Him that is able. You still believe He's able? Listen, you need to know something today. God still can. He still can. God is still able. Dear church, you need to echo in your mind. You need to say it over and over again. God is still able. You say, even in my circumstance, absolutely. Whether it's a mountaintop or a valley, whether it's a time of peace or a time of war, God is still able. Now unto Him who is able to do. He's promised to do. I love what Abraham, the Bible says about him in Romans, when he did not stagger. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 says, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Excuse me. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, I love this, he was able to perform. Aren't you glad for that today? That when God promises something, my God, He's able to perform it. When I was growing up, I know this is hard to believe, and so you just trust me, but I had a mouth on me, and not like a physical mouth, but I was just, there. Sometimes it's a gift and a curse. Sometimes I could open my mouth and just things come out. And when I was growing up, that happened all the time. Now, you need to put that into balance with how big I was back then, or maybe how small I was. I was always the youngest kid in my class and the smallest kid in my class. Micah right now is going through that. Micah is about the shortest kid in his class, and I told him, I said, Micah, you really don't have a shot at being tall. Everybody in my family but my aunt and my granddaddy Colquhoun were all short. And everybody in Christie's family except her granddaddy were short. And so you've got like a less than a 1% chance of being remotely tall. So just get used to it. He's like, thanks a lot, Dad. But I was short. I was always the shortest kid in my class. I was always the youngest kid in my class. And yet, I would run my mouth, David. I couldn't help it. People pushed me around, and I'd go on them verbally. And if they were a lot bigger than me, I'd just go on them verbally, and then I'd run. Because some little chubby kid ain't catching me, you know. Unless we're going downhill, then I'm in trouble. And my dad, I got in trouble at school one day, and I vividly remember. This happened several times, but this particular one, I got in trouble, and it was because of my mouth. And my dad pulled me into his office at our house, and he said, son, I want to tell you something. I want you to never forget it. My dad was not real big on, you know, giving me the talks. You know, usually my mama gave me the talks, and she's crying while she's giving me the talks. My dad, when he gave me a talk, you better listen. He said, son, I never want you to forget this. I said, okay. I was going to ask him because I was always a smart math dude. I need to write this down, but I chose not to. And I'm glad too. And so he said, son, and I'm not trying to be crude when I say this, and he wasn't either. He says, you need to make sure that you don't write checks with your mouth that your butt can't cash. That's what he told me. And at first, I didn't understand what he was saying. I'm like, Dad, I don't write checks with my mouth. I'm just... And then he explained it, and I'm like, oh. Sometimes we say things, and we're like, yeah, we'll do that, and we can't. You know, we'll just leave that to us, and we'll take care of it. And truth is, as soon as we say it, we know we can't. God never says something that He cannot do. Never. He has promised to always. You say, at any time? Yes. I mean, think of Job. Job lost everything. He lost his health, lost his wealth, lost his family. He was then accused by his friends, so-called friends, his counselors. He was accused by his own wife. He was afflicted, and yet listen to Job's response. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now listen, that's easy for us to claim about that story because we know how it turned out. But what happens when you're right in the middle of it? And Job, right there in the middle of it, said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He said early on in that first day, he said, naked came I into this world, and naked will I return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm sure to those friends, he said, what I don't know is why God has allowed all these things, but what I do know, listen, church, is that my Redeemer liveth. I know that. Weeping may endure for a night, But church, joy cometh in the morning. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, the Bible says. I have been young, and now I am old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Here's a promise. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's a promise. I love what Fred Luter said, if God brings you to it, he's going to promise to bring you through it. There's a promise of his power. You want it, it's yours. He's promised. He's promised to give that power to you. But then number four, I love this. By the way, there's no way I'm getting through this whole sermon. Number four, there's the potential. We in church work talk about potential all the time. We use that word very flippantly. And yet I want you to notice the potential that this power has. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Did you catch that? Do you see the potential? Not just the period now. This is when God can give it to you. Now unto him, not just the person of this power. Who does it come from? It comes from God. And not just the promise that he can. That now unto him that is able to do, but able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above anything that we can ask or think. Church, please hear me. God is able. But not only is God is able to do. But not only is God is able to do abundantly. But not only is God able to do abundantly, I think Paul had to retract on that typewriter or whatever he was using. He said, God is able to do exceeding abundantly. He said, oh, that's not good enough. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Above what? God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. That's not good enough. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask. And then he said, and even think. I have to believe when Paul got to that point, one writer said that he believed Paul just flung his pen down and said, it's no use. It could not be done. He said Paul had climbed the ladder to the very highest rung that words could take him. And then he got on a higher ladder and climbed as far as his thoughts could take him. And then he got on a higher ladder and he climbed as far as his prayers would take him. And yet he said, it's still not enough to what God can do. You hear me, church? That is the God that you and I serve. Sometimes the church has this defeatist attitude, like we're already defeated. My friend, we are not defeated. We are already conquerors. You say, well, preacher, you just don't understand. Hey, guess what? God does. And this is what I do understand. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that I or you can ask or think. I love what Alexander McLaren said about this passage. He said, the apostle, in a fervid way, strains language to express how far the possibility of divine working extends. He said he is able not only to do all things, but he is able to do beyond all things. Church, God is so far beyond what you think he is. Get God out of a box, please. Well, we had a bill come in, and I just don't know if God can handle it. What? This is the man that for the person rather that for 6 days just spoke things by his own power into existence. Light, boom. Water, boom. Mahi, boom. Amen. Fish. This is the man that took dirt and breathed life, and it became a living soul. And you don't think he can handle your light bill? Really? You don't think he can mend that relationship that's broken? Church, do you know my God? He is able to do so far beyond. J.J. Ray said, in this remarkable verse, we have wondered instance of St. Paul's cumulative way of speaking. Whenever I get fairly into one of St. Paul's epistles, Ray said, I always feel as though he is a man in bonds. A man who feels as if language is too poor a medium for him. A man that once he has expressed the truth, he leaves the table feeling that language that he has just used is bankrupt in comparing to his God. Wow. Here he said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Can God meet your financial needs? My God can. Can God fix your marriage? My God can. Can God work things out at our church or your church or any church? Listen to me. My God can. Can God still add to His church daily? Oh, that's a thing of the past. Well, listen to me. If that's a thing of the past, that means we serve a God of the past. But as far as I'm concerned, the same God of the past is a God of the present, and praise God, is a God of the future. He can still add to the church daily. Can God heal your cancer? Absolutely. Can God give peace to a troubled soul? Absolutely. Can God fill the empty heart with joy unspeakable and full of glory? The answer, my friend, is emphatically yes, my God can. When that centurion came and said, Lord, I have a servant at home. He's sick with the palsy. He's grievously tormented. And Jesus said, I'll come heal him. He says, Lord, he said, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. But I understand authority. And I just believe if you'll speak it, if you'll just speak the word only, my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, wow. I've never seen so great a faith. Jesus, the Bible said, marveled. He marveled at God's, the faith that this man had put in God. He said, if you'll just speak it, I believe it'll happen. This is what Jesus said. As you have believed, so be it done. And Mark records, in the selfsame hour, the servant was healed. Selfsame hour. It takes that kind of faith. It's that same kind of faith that the lady who had issue of blood for 12 years expressed when she said, if I could just get close to him, and I don't need some service, I don't need some ceremony, I don't need some magical potion, I don't need some oil in a bottle. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I believe I could be healed. And Jesus, when he said to those disciples, somebody touched me, they're like, well, Lord, the people are pressing you. I mean, you've probably been touched by 100 people. He said, no, somebody touched me in a different way. So somebody reached out for me to be healed, and I felt virtue leave me to heal somebody. And Jesus turned, and there was the woman. And after they had a conversation, Jesus said to that woman, he says, thy faith has made thee whole. Faith in what? Faith in who? Listen to me. Faith in Jesus. And here's where I want to leave you today. Do we still serve a God that can do the impossible? Do we still serve a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think? By the way, I do want to finish this verse. He says, according, verse 20, to the power that worketh in us. I mean, it's one thing, church. It's one thing to know that our God can do that. But as we were reminded in Sunday school, Jesus told the disciples in John 14, he gave them some bad, unexpected news. He said, I'm going away. They're like, what? He said, don't worry about it. What do you mean, don't worry about it?
For 3.5 years, you've been everything to us. Let not your heart be troubled. Are you crazy? They probably didn't say that. He's God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And they're like, man, this sounds great. And then he says, and I'm going to go. Like almost in passing. I'm going to go. Did y'all catch that? He's going? Where are you going? It worried them because they had seen so much power in Christ. Philip asked the question, well, it'll suffice us if we could see God. He said, Philip, how long have I been with you? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. But then he said something that blows me away. He said, you've seen me do great works, but through you, God's going to do greater works. I mean, you take this Bible and you see what God did in the Old Testament. You see what Christ did in the Gospels. And you're like, Lord, you're going to do greater things through me than that. And Jesus said, yep. He said, all this power, it works in you. Listen to me. And when you lean on it, you will not faint. When you depend on it, you will not faint. When you hold fast to it, not your power, not your understanding, God's power, the Spirit of God that lives in you, you will last when you hold to it. I was asked this week by 3 different people, what's your vision for your church? And that's almost like a ministry code word. Truth is, what is the burden that God has placed on your heart for this ministry in this city for this time? And so again, like I used to do a long time ago, I used to take cards out and used to write things that I felt like God put in my mind. I used to just write them down. I'd tuck them away in Bibles and stuff so that I would be reminded over and over again what God had put in my heart. This time, instead of a card, I just took out a legal pad and I just started writing the other day all the things that I felt like God was just exploding in my heart for this ministry in this city for this time. And honestly, some of the things I was writing down were scaring me. And I'm like, Lord, really? We could do that? By the way, it's not like God talked to me in an audible voice. I didn't climb Jacob's ladder and do this. I'm just trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me. Just like you would. If I were to ask you, what is the passion for your family? You could write down several pages of notes. And by the way, if you couldn't, you need to get right with God. And so I do for our church. What does God want us to do? And then I wrote down, I had another section, what does God want for my family? And I had another section, what does God want out of my marriage? And then I had another section, what does God want from me? And at the end of this long list that I'm continuing to add to, I look at it and it's somewhat intimidating. We have some transition that's happening in our school. That's even affecting our church. The Houghton's going to the mission field in Indonesia. We got adding some classes and replacing some teachers. And about 45 days ago, I was like, Lord, you know, I love you. And I know you love me. But I'm a little worried about who's going to be in what spots. And can I tell you that in the last 45 days, that God has been more real to me than any time in the last probably 4.5 years, and has proven me over and over and over and over again with door after door after door after door, Scott, I'm God. I've got it. Church, financially, our board knows there have been days when we've been like, Lord, Nice knowing you. And we didn't know how this bill was going to be paid or that bill was going to be paid. And every single time, it happened 2 weeks ago, every single time God showed up. We couldn't explain it outside of saying, God did that. What are you saying to us, preacher? This is what I'm saying. My prayer for you is that you don't faint. My prayer for you is that you last. My prayer for you is that you stay committed. You say, great, I'm glad you're praying that for me. How do I do that? You lean on the power of God. You recommit yourself to what God can do in and through your life. It's not just you. It's Him. You let God live in me. For me to live as Christ, to die as gain. What was Paul saying? That everything I have in this life, I'm going to give to God. And then he said to the church of Galatia, I'm done. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Church, take courage today. We serve a really, really big God who can do unbelievable things in and through our life. Let's let Him do that. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, thank you for the privilege to preach. And Lord, so many more thoughts, so much more that I want to convey. And yet, God, I just believe right now it's time for a decision. I just believe right now we need to, as a church, refocus our attention to a really, really big God. Not a God that can do some things, a God that can do everything. In fact, beyond our everything. That we need to focus our attention and we need to cast our care and we need to lean on the strength of a God that measures the span of all of creation. He measures it with His hand. Lord, remind us today how big, powerful God you are. Minister to our hearts during this invitation. We pray. You're here today and you say, preacher, I desire for God to do big things through my life. And I'm committed to having enough faith and putting my trust in Him to do those big things. Pray for me. If that's you, would you lift your hand? I want to see God do big things, supernatural things through my life. As we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, hands all over this building. Right now, I want us to come together as a family. And if God spoke to your heart, I want you to get on this altar right now and say, God, I do not want average things. I'm desiring for you to do big things. Things that are well past anything I could ask or anything I could think. Lord, I do not want to be casual. I do not want to be medium. I do not want to be average. I want to see God things happening in my life. And if that's you, I want to invite you as Blake sings.
His strength, you come. Is perfect.
His strength is always perfect.
When our strength is gone,
Lord, I don't want to be on the shelf.
He'll carry us when we can carry on.
I want to be able to look back on my life and see the hand, the powerful hand of God working and weaving in every aspect.
Become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect.
It is my prayer that you be strengthened. By the way, one thing I didn't mention about this power is it's a privilege too. It's not something that we're owed. He said that God would grant you. That literally means to give you something you didn't deserve. That He would grant us according. according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened. And oh, that God would be so alive, so strong through us. Last question. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, there's never been a point in time in my life where I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And if I were to die today, I would die lost. Please pray for me. Nobody's looking around. This is between me, you, and God. Preacher, please pray for me." If that's you, would you lift your hand? I will not embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. If I were to die today, I would die lost. Just lift it up, put it right back down. Anybody? If you did that and I didn't see it, lift it up again so I can see it. I see that hand up there. Thank you. If I died today, I would die lost. As Lamanda's playing, I'll give you an opportunity to respond right now. I'll meet you right up front. We'll have somebody take God's word. They can show you how to be saved. You can enter in to this great power we're talking about as a believer. If you would but come. Our Father, we again praise you. We thank you that we get to serve a great God who's worthy of our praise. Lord, strengthen us so that we can see great and mighty things done for your glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen.